Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
We're remembering Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. 50 years after his death, and in particular, his connection to Massachusetts. One of those connections is with the state's most prominent political family, the Kennedys. David Margalek is the author of a new book titled The Promise and the Dream, the untold story of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy, whose lives were both cut short by assassination just a few months apart in 1968. Margalek says the relationship between the two leaders was tenuous.
The two of them were integral to civil rights, the history of civil rights in the 1960s. But the fact of the matter is that they were very wary of one another. They each posed challenges to one another. What they did was they were very conscious of one another, and they looked over one another's shoulders a lot.
Well, let me ask about what Dr. King might have been thinking about Bobby Kennedy in this way. You write in the book, quote, "It was Robert Kennedy with whom he knew he'd have to deal. And he ordered his colleagues, most notably Harry Belafonte, who was, of course, a very famous entertainer, to go find Kennedy's moral center and not return until they had." What did you mean by that? What was Dr. King looking for?
Well, that's actually a very dramatic story. I mean, why would Martin Luther King have been so suspicious of Robert Kennedy and so doubtful that he had a moral center? And the answer is that Robert Kennedy's record at that point wasn't a very good one. I mean, there was absolutely no evidence that he cared at all about civil rights. He had worked early in his career for Joe McCarthy. Joe McCarthy's anti-communist campaign was viewed as antagonistic to civil rights. So Martin Luther King was very skeptical of Bobby Kennedy's instincts on civil rights. At the same time, he recognized that when it came to civil rights, all roads led through the Justice Department, and so Robert Kennedy, as Attorney General, would have a pivotal effect on civil rights. And so it was all the more important, as King saw it, to work with this guy, and that required finding his moral center, if in fact there was one.
Let me ask about some specifics. The book recalls Martin Luther King Jr.'s arrest in Georgia because of an alleged traffic violation. He was sentenced to 4 months at hard labor. Bobby Kennedy convinced the judge to free Dr. King. What was he thinking at the time? Was it an altruistic move by Kennedy, or was it a calculated political move?
Well, what's interesting about that particular episode is that Bobby Kennedy was originally horrified at the thought of intervening at all, because he thought that it was politically disadvantageous. It would irk Southern white voters. First, he was outraged by the idea that King would have been sentenced to jail for some minor infraction, for a parole violation, and it offended his sense of justice. On the other hand, you know, it brought in black votes in record numbers and arguably turned the election toward John F. Kennedy, because for whatever Southern votes they lost, the black vote came out throughout the North and it swung several states. I mean, in that sense, Martin Luther King arguably got John F. Kennedy elected.
So let me ask about that day, 50 years ago on this day, when Martin Luther King was assassinated and Bobby Kennedy was on a campaign stop, a primary campaign stop in Indianapolis. It was during one of his scheduled primary rallies that his aide urged him to cancel, but he went ahead with it anyway, and he delivered that famous speech, or the speech that's become famous since, and here's part of what he had to say.
What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another, feeling of justice toward those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or whether they be black.
Had to be very emotional. You can hear his voice at one point there, quavering. Why did Bobby Kennedy feel like he needed to make that speech? And why do you think it stuck with so many people for so long?
Well, I think he felt that he needed to make that speech because he had promised to make that speech. And I think he thought that it was both a matter of honor for him to keep his promise, and also a kind of challenge for him. You know, this was somebody who climbed mountains and ran rapids. I don't think it was necessarily or primarily to honor King. He had a difficult relationship with King. What's extraordinary about that speech was that it was really the one time in Robert Kennedy's career when he felt free to embrace Martin Luther King. Before and after that, he maintained a certain distance from him.
Do you think the King assassination made Bobby Kennedy more anxious or concerned about his own safety, especially since it came only 5 years after JFK's death in Dallas?
I think he was always anxious about his safety, but he was always at the same time rather stoical about it. I don't think that King's assassination changed that way of thinking very much. He always lived with it, and yet he was always determined not to be deterred by it.
Dave Margalek, author of the new book called The Promise and the Dream, The Untold Story of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy. Thank you very much for this conversation.
It was a great pleasure, Bob. Thank you.